Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have begun our 30 Issues in 30 Days nominating process. Go to our webpage and nominate an issue to be included in our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. More than 50 people have nominated so far. We'll have a vote on your issues next month. Nominate them now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, New Yorkers might be known for producing a lot of hot air, but is it enough to power the city? Did you hear that Mayor Bloomberg wants to turn New York City into a wind farm with turbines perched atop the bridges and the buildings, some of them anyway? Joining me now to talk about the mayor's proposal is James Gallagher, Senior Energy and Telecommunications Vice President at New York City's Economic Development Corporation. Mr. Gallagher, thanks for coming on WNYC with us. Good morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning.
I know the plains of Texas have sustained winds that make them a logical place for a wind farm, but Manhattan and Queens?
Well, what we are seeing and what we want to survey and learn more about is what is the potential for renewable energy, including wind, in New York City. In particular, you know, we're hearing of great opportunities, great potential offshore, deep water wind. So, I mean, that's one of our top priorities to see what's out there.
There was that wind tunnel effect on 6th Avenue that I'm sure you've experienced, but that's not really what you're talking about.
That's right. I mean, we will be looking at all possibilities. The idea behind what the city is doing right now and what the mayor is interested in doing is not just looking for ideas of people within city government, but let's tap the expertise of the people within the city, the people who have projects in mind or have just good ideas. And we can then, you know, identify those ideas and push the projects that are worth pushing.
I read in the papers today that the mayor did not specify which buildings or which other kinds of structures like bridges might be candidates for windmills. But are there particular criteria that you would have in mind when you look at what buildings, what bridges, what anything else might get wind turbines, might be right for them?
Well, I believe that the number one criteria for when we're talking about a building or talking about a bridge is what would the impact be on the neighboring buildings? What would be the visual impacts? It's not the intent of the city or the mayor just to be slapping windmills on any structure within the city. We may find that the opportunities for, you know, putting wind on structures within the city are much more limited than it might be to pursue the deep water wind that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We might also find, and already we're seeing emails this morning of people who have ideas about property they own on the coast of the city that they believe, you know, should at least be explored for the potential for wind. So it's not preordained as to where these projects might be, and it might end up being solar, it might end up being geothermal or tidal power. Really, it's open in terms of the types of things we're going to be considering.
Who would own that power? You know, you can't help but notice that the oil man T. Boone Pickens wants to get into the wind business now. He must think there's money to be made there. Would the city own the wind? Would the building owners, if we're talking about turbines on top of particular buildings, own it and be able to sell it to Con Ed? How would that work?
Well, there are a few ways for that to work. One way in particular is what is often called behind-the-meter wind. And you'll often see this on individual buildings where a wind project would perhaps meet a large portion of the energy needs of a building. And that would just be behind the meter. That customer would be reducing their own consumption, buying less from the utility.
Right.
Larger projects could sell directly into the wholesale electric market in New York. And then the city and other customers would purchase from that wholesale market. A third option, which the city has pursued in the past, is to work in partnership with there's a government authority, the New York Power Authority, through which the city right now purchases about 50% of its needs. That's city government. We could enter into a long-term contract with a renewable generator to purchase the power from their project.
Do you expect a lot of opposition to this? You know, I've been surprised looking around the country at how much opposition there is, even by some people who are otherwise politically progressive, to the idea of this kind of alternative energy when it's in their backyard. I think the Kennedy family opposed wind generators off Cape Cod. And so I guess they're big, they're loud, they're noisy, they're ugly. Is that going to be a factor?
Well, one of the things that we're beginning to see is a lot of interest in new technologies that allow wind projects to go into deeper water. We are being approached already by a number of firms that are interested in projects 20, 30 miles off the coast of the city that then would run transmission lines into the city underwater. The projects that were usually contested, including Cape Wind and also the project off the coast of Long Island, you can see from the shore. These wouldn't be visible from the shore. And what we're beginning to see in terms of the potential that could be contributed by these projects, it's just enormous.
What about the potential? And I got to go, but can you give me a number, like what percentage of all the energy that's consumed in New York City today could potentially be produced by wind if you did everything that you could conceivably do?
We are being told that there is an offshore parcel probably 10, 20, 30 miles off the coast of New York City that potentially could provide up to 3,000-4,000 megawatts of power. Right now, the city consumes on a peak day about 13,000 megawatts of power. So it could be significant. Now, that 3,000-4,000 megawatts of power is a long-term prospect.
Right. That's like a third of the power.
That's about a third of the power.
Wait, so you have one particular parcel in mind somewhere off the coast?
Well, there are a number of parcels that are being considered.
What's that one big one? Is there that one big one? Can you identify it?
I would say there's a parcel about 25 miles by 100 miles, about 30 miles off the coast of the city that
in
is
what direction?
Being explored directly
east?
Off of the Manhattan, if you drew a line from Manhattan 25 miles out.
Then you're in parcels, Huntington.
There are parcels up and down the coast. And again, this is deep water that we're talking about that wouldn't be visible from the coast.
Okay, I have to leave it there. James Gallagher, Senior Energy and Telecommunications Vice President at New York City's Economic Development Corporation. Very hopeful. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And with me now to talk more about this is Jeff Ball, environmental news editor at the Wall Street Journal, who's been looking into wind power beyond New York City. Hey, Jeff, thanks for coming on with us.
Sure. Good morning.
Any news there? That's pretty interesting about how much they think is potential from wind off New York City.
No, it's fascinating. I mean, it's the numbers are pretty eye-popping. A third of the city's power potentially from wind. I mean, those are huge numbers. It might be worth talking just briefly for perspective purposes about kind of what's happening beyond New York. The growth in wind power has been huge in the past couple of years, particularly in the U.S. I mean, you'll hear the phrase "the U.S. being the Saudi Arabia of wind" bandied about quite a lot, and that's largely because the U.S. has such broad stretches of windy places. The problem typically is that those places are far from where population centers are. And so one huge problem is getting that power to the people. And you mentioned Texas. I actually happen to sit out here in Texas. And one of the reasons that Texas has become the state with more wind power than any other is that it has a lot of very wide open windy places. And there's quite a lot of discussion out here going on about how you get that power to the market, but if New York has a parcel 30 miles offshore that it can generate that much wind power from, that certainly sounds pretty interesting.
I mean, are there any other urban models? And I realize the fact that we're coastal and near the ocean is obviously a big thing. Maybe it's being overreported in the papers here about how this would be on top of buildings and bridges. But are there any other urban models that are already in existence?
Well, you know, there's London's an interesting example. There was it sure sounds like New York is looking at, as you say, as intensely at the offshore option as it is at the on-building option, and maybe more intensely at the offshore option. London has been looking very seriously at a big offshore wind project, and it's been going a lot more slowly than the proponents would have hoped. Shell, the big oil company, was involved for a while and effectively pulled out, essentially because people couldn't figure out how to make the numbers work, the economic numbers work. So, developing offshore wind is a huge undertaking, not really unlike developing offshore oil rigs. I mean, in an engineering sense, these are hugely complicated machines,
right.
And you have to figure out how to do this in a way that at the end of the day is going to be price competitive with coal-fired power, which is cheaper.
How about the aesthetics of it? How big, how ugly, how unacceptable do you think this would be to a lot of people to put on their roofs?
Well, you mentioned, or I guess it was Mr. Gallagher who mentioned Cape Wind. I mean, that's kind of the poster child of the NIMBY, not in my backyard, response to wind power development. It sounds like what New York is looking at is potentially an offshore wind project that would be far enough away that people actually couldn't see it. Now, there are issues that opponents raise, like are there birds that fly in the area and could the birds be killed by the turning blades, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of putting wind turbines on buildings, I think pretty clearly there probably would be opposition on aesthetic grounds, although people ought to remember that, you know, New York isn't going to think about putting the same sort of huge wind turbines on the top of the Empire State Building that it would put 30 miles offshore, so the technology presumably would be matched to the building. However, presumably these things are not going to be invisible, and you know someone's going to be across the street looking at them.
Right.
And pretty much everywhere else that this sort of thing has been proposed, there has been opposition on those grounds.
By the way, there was a front page story in the New York Times this week about possible corruption in upstate New York as companies lease the land for turbines. So the wind itself might be cleaner than crude oil, but is the industry any cleaner?
Well, it's a fast-growing industry, right? And there's money to be made.
T. Boone Pickens must think there's money to be made. People who don't know T. Boone Pickens, as you know, a longtime oil man, might have seen him on TV recently and said, "Gosh, here's this guy, and he's getting into wind power. What an environmentalist!" Is that largely self-interest, though?
Well, I mean, as I say, there's money to be made here, and proponents of renewable energy probably would be very happy that there's money to be made here because when the profit motive is harnessed, things tend to happen.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because I think one of the big obstacles to all kinds of renewable energy sources is that people haven't found ways to make them profitable.
Well, that's true historically.
And cost effective.
Yeah, and it's still wind power is getting more cost effective, and a lot of people will say that of all the renewable energy sources, wind at this point is the most cost effective.
Yeah.
However, there are still challenges.
I have to leave it there. I'm sorry to say. So we'll pick this up another day. Jeff Ball, environmental news editor at the Wall Street Journal, out in Texas. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.